We'll just take time to read John 21, verses 15 through 17 again together. Verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he had said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. The story is told of a parishioner, of a church member, who was extremely suspicious of the shaky theology of a certain Puritan. He approached the Puritan and he asked him, Do you believe in the perseverance of the saints? That's just simply the belief that whenever an individual is saved, that they then persevere on to the end. And he came to this Puritan and he asked him, Do you believe in this? The Puritan responded swiftly, No. And the man, of course, pleased as punch with himself as he had tricked out this man, he said, Well, I knew there was something wrong with you. If you don't believe that, then you do not believe the Bible at all. And the Puritan then responded to him and said, Well, I believe in something far greater than the perseverance of the saints. I believe in a persevering Lord. Now, when you think of Simon Peter, and especially John chapter 21, I want to suggest to you this morning that that really is the underlying truth of it all. It is not really the story of a persevering saint. Rather, it is the story of a persevering and a compassionate Lord Jesus Christ. You remember the backdrop to this story. Here is Simon Peter, and he has denied the Lord not once, not twice, but three times. And now in this chapter, the Lord Jesus Christ, he has come and he is now reinstating and recommissioning Simon Peter to himself. Now, I want to suggest to you that this is not the first time that the Lord Jesus has spoke with Peter. Of course, Peter was there the first resurrection day when the Lord Jesus met with his disciples. He was also, we can assume, there on the eighth day. But I want to suggest to you as well that the Lord Jesus, prior to John 21, would have personally met with Simon Peter and had a conversation with him, and he would have personally restored him to himself. Now, why do I say that? Well, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 5 tells us that the Lord Jesus rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and he was seen of Cephas, that's just Peter, then of the 12. So Paul states that before the other disciples saw him, as he was firstly seen of Peter. And who were the first individuals to see the Lord Jesus when he was raised again on that resurrection morning? Well, it wasn't the disciples. No, it was the woman. And especially Mary Magdalene. And you read then in the Gospels, when you put it all together, it was the woman who came to the tomb. They then found out the disciples, and they said to the disciples, We have seen the Lord Jesus Christ. So somewhere here in the intervening period, I want to suggest to you that the Lord Jesus personally comes to Peter. Perhaps this incident is referring to the incident in John 20 where Peter and John, they're running towards the tomb. But I want to suggest to you that there is some point that the Lord Jesus meets with Peter and he restores him privately to himself. Also, another reason I believe this is because what did Jesus Christ teach his disciples whenever there was a fallout, whenever there was an argument between themselves? He said in Matthew 18, verse 15, If thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And Matthew 18 is in the context of church discipline. And so what was he saying? He's saying, if there are two people and they have a difficulty, they have a discrepancy, they are to come together. And they are to sort out the matter firstly before themselves. And if they cannot come to agreement, then they are to bring it to the church oversight. So here's the Lord Jesus, and I believe he practiced what he preached. So I believe that here's Peter, and he has let the Lord down. He has spoken harshly against his Savior. He has denied the Lord with oaths and with cursings. And the Lord Jesus knows this. And so he comes and he deals with the matter one-on-one with Simon Peter. So now, having been privately restored, in John 21, Peter still needs to be publicly recommissioned. What did Peter do? Prior to the cross, he came and in the upper room there, and he said in front of all the rest of the disciples, they were all watching on, and he said, "Oh, these fellas, they'll deny you, Lord. They'll forsake you. But no, no, not me. I'll not forsake you." And of course, within the span of 24 hours, he had denied the Lord three times. So now here they are, and now the Lord Jesus, he knows this, he knows that he has publicly said this. He's made a point of being quite foolish, and now having publicly said this, and publicly denying the Lord, having restored him privately already to himself, he now is restoring him back to public office. Now at this time, the disciples, I believe, they had possibly given up. They are now back fishing. They are back on the Sea of Galilee. Whenever they were called to follow Jesus Christ at the beginning, what do you read of Andrew and of Peter and of James and John? You read straightway they forsook their nets. In other words, they left the fishing. They stopped fishing and they became fishers of men. But now here they are, they're lifting their nets again. They're picking up their rods, as it were, and they are fishing. But as they're fishing in the Sea of Galilee, someone spots a faint-looking object there in the distance. It's none other than the Lord Jesus himself. John notices this person. Firstly, verse 7, that disciple whom Jesus loved says to Peter, "It is the Lord." Do you imagine the scene? They're there in the boats. And John, he nudges Peter and he said, "Look, Peter, it is the Lord. It is the Lord." What is Peter's immediate response? Well, you read of him in verse 7 again. He girt his fisher's coat onto him, for he was naked, and he cast himself into the sea. He put some form of coat on himself, and he then swims as fast as he can to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's Peter, and in this act, he showed that whilst he had wronged the Lord, he is now determined not only to be reconciled privately, but publicly, to display that he wants to make it up with the Lord. And beloved, this morning, where you have wronged the Lord, there is always a way back to him. Jesus Christ is a pardoning Lord. Maybe there's been something happened in the past, whether it be months, years, or even decades, and it has caused a great gap between you and your Lord. Yes, you are saved. You know the forgiveness of sins. Yes, the union is there, but the communion has all but disappeared. Well, no matter the circumstances, the Lord Jesus is showing us here in the incident of him publicly restoring Simon Peter that if he can restore such a person, could he not restore you? Here's a man who had sworn. Here's a man who had blasphemed. Terrible, terrible sins and transgressions. And yet the Lord comes and publicly, he makes a public show of this, publicly reinstates him and restores him to himself. And he does this by asking him this question three times. "Lovest thou me?" And this morning I want to just take up this question and look at this incident under the heading, "Lovest thou me?" The first thing I want you to think about is the asking of this question to Peter. The asking of this question to Peter. Verse 15, we read, "When they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" Now here's the Lord Jesus, and Peter has swam to the seashore, really. And it's really at the minute, it's just Peter and the Lord. Others, they seem to follow on shortly after. But it's just Peter and the Lord here. And they're talking one amongst the other. And as they are talking, the Lord Jesus asks him about one thing. He didn't say to Peter, "Peter, what's your plans? Do you plan to be a missionary? Do you plan to go to the Jews? Do you plan to go to the Gentiles?" He didn't ask him, "Peter, what do you plan to do?" He didn't ask him about where he intended to go once he recommissioned him. He asked him one thing. "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He asked him, "Simon, very simply, do you love me? Do you love me?" Notice how he asked this question. The Lord Jesus, he addressed Peter not as Peter, but as Simon. Verse 15, he said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas. He didn't say Simon Peter, he said Simon. Why did he do this? Well, he only gave him the name Peter after he became a Christian. The name Peter, it means rock. And of course, the Aramaic name Cephas, it also has the idea of a rock. And really, in calling him Peter, he was saying, Peter, you're set upon a rock. You're set upon me. Even his very name was a testimony that he had been transformed by the grace of God. But now he's calling him his Christian name. He's calling him the name that he was known by before he was saved. Simon, son of Jonas. It was as if he was saying, Peter, when you denied me, you were behaving like someone who was not a Christian. Peter, you were behaving like the old Simon. You were not behaving like a rock-like type of individual. You were really getting on like someone who did not know me at all. He also asked Peter three times. The reason he asked Peter three times, well, very simply, is to press home that thought that he had denied the Lord three times. So in asking him three times, he was testing the reality of his love. He was giving him a chance to publicly now confess three times, I love Jesus Christ. He had denied him publicly three times, but now he's publicly professing, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. A.W. Pink said, on this very, very incident in the Bible, the Lord wins only that he may heal. He wins only that he may heal. And he was really doing this, asking him this three times to ensure that Simon, son of Jonas, would never do this again. How he asked, but also what he asked. He asked him three times, lovest thou me more than these? More than these. What's he speaking of when he says more than these? Well, commentators have argued about it. Some say it was the boats, it was the nets, it was the old job, it was the fishing. Some believe it was the disciples. I tend to believe that it was the disciples. He's really saying, do you love me more than these disciples love me? The Lord Jesus, again, he's honing in on that very thing. Peter, you said you would not forsake me. These fellas, they would forsake me. But Peter, you said it. So Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me really more than these other disciples? And I wonder, is the Lord Jesus perhaps asking you this question today? Lovest thou me more than these? You see, it's always a question of love. It's never a question of how much you do for me, how much you profess me, how much you say, but it is how much you love me. Perhaps he's challenging you today. How much do you love me more than these? You see, the Lord Jesus, he demands total and absolute allegiance to himself. But other things, they can get in the way, can't they? And they can crowd out your love for Jesus Christ. Sometimes it can be hobbies. Sometimes it can be our work. Sometimes it can even be the service of God. Something I have to guard against, even in my own heart, that we love the work more than we love the Lord of the work. And sometimes when you're busy for Jesus Christ, it can even be love of the work of God, service of Jesus, or service for Jesus Christ. And yet, really, the bottom line is this. How much do you love Jesus Christ? How much do you really, truly love him? Paul stated in his great chapter on love in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, that though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And he's saying to a church that boasted in its many gifts and many talents and many abilities, the church probably that was gifted above all other churches and loved to let others know it. And he said, you can have your gifts and you can have your talents and you can have your abilities. But if you haven't love, if you haven't love, you're as an off-sounding instrument in need of tuning. You think of Galatians 5, 22. There you read of the different aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, of long-suffering, of joy, of meekness, of gentleness. What's the first aspect of spiritual fruit mentioned in Galatians 5, verse 22? Love. Love. And it's as if Paul, writing to the church at Galatia, he's saying, you want to be more meek, you want to be more gentle, you want to be a more joyful Christian, then it all stems from love. It's only as you love more will you exhibit these graces more in your lives. Again, at the very end of 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, just to drive home this, the primacy of love, he states, the greatest of these is love. Not faith, not hope, the greatest of these is love. You see, Christianity is not about power, it's not even about a presence, rather it is about passion for a person. Simon, son of Jonas, Jonas, lovest thou me? How much do you love me? And beloved, the Lord would just ask you this question this morning. How much do you really, truly love me? How much do you love me? There was a minister named Adam Gibb in Edinburgh, and he received an application for church membership from a young lady. He spoke to her privately, and she found it very difficult to answer even the most basic questions about salvation. She then said to him, Mr. Gibb, I may not know and do not know as much as others, but when you preach a message on my Savior and my Lord, I find my heart going out to him like a linseed out of a bag. And that is love for Jesus Christ. It is whenever you hear of him that your heart just reaches out after him and it runs after him. So the asking of this question to Peter. We need to think secondly then with me about the answering of this question from Peter. The answering of this question from Peter. You see, you well know, it's one thing to be asked a question. It's another thing entirely to respond to that question. And how you respond to that question reveals an awful lot about what you actually thought about the question in the first place. Now here's Peter. He's asked the same question three times, and three times he gives the same answer. He tells the Lord he loves him. Verse 15, I love thee, thou knowest I love thee. Verse 16, verse 17. This would have been hard to do, as the other disciples now, as they're gathering in, joining the conversation, this would have been a very hard thing to do. These disciples had just heard him probably a few weeks ago. They have heard of him say, look, Lord, I'll not forsake you. And yet they know of him then denying the Lord. So it would have been a very, very difficult thing for Peter to do in front of others. And yet he did it. He did it. He publicly confessed his love before the disciples. Now as he answered with honesty. He answered with honesty. The first two times that the Lord Jesus asks this question, lovest thou me? The word love there, it is agape. And really it has the idea of the strongest love possible in the Bible. It describes the love of Jesus Christ for his people. It's a special love, it's a sacrificial love, and it is also a singular love. But when Peter answered in verses 15, 16, and 17, thou knowest I love thee, he uses a different type of word altogether. It really has the idea of affection. You know the way you would maybe say to your friend, well, I like you. But you'd maybe just say to the one that you're married, well, I love you. That's really the thought here. That's the difference. It's a friendly kind of love versus a strong, sacrificial kind of love. And do you know the thing that I really appreciate about Peter? It's this. Peter's honest. Peter's honest about how much he loves the Lord. The Lord asks him, do you love me, Peter, with a sacrificial love, a singular love, a special kind of love? Peter's honest. He said, Lord, you know that I have affection for you. You know that I don't love you as much as I should, but nonetheless, I do love you. And beloved, when you're asked this question, how much do you love Jesus Christ? I wonder, is that your response today? Lord, I don't love you the way I should, but nonetheless, I love you. I love you. Yes, there's the love there, and there is the confession, Lord. My love is not what it should. It should be. It should be reciprocated, just like you love me, sacrificially, specially, singularly. Then I should love you in such a way. And yet it's not. It's good to be honest before the Lord. It's good at times just to strip back all of the pretense. especially privately before the Lord in prayer, and say, Lord, you know what? I don't love you the way I should, but Lord, I thank you nonetheless that I do love you. So it was an honest answer. It was also a humble answer. The third time when the Lord Jesus asks Peter, do you love me? He uses the same word that Peter uses. So the first two times he asked Peter, do you sacrificially, specially love me? But the third time, verse 17, Peter, do you have affection for me? And Peter, each time, as we've said, he strongly affirms that he does. What's the Lord doing here? He's whittling down and he's condescending and he's stripping it all back for Simon Peter. Notice that the first time he asked Simon, do you love me more than these things? But Simon sort of doesn't really answer the question. He just says, Lord, I love you. See, he has learned from his mistakes. And that's the thing I love about Simon Peter. He is someone who made many mistakes, but he learns from his mistakes eventually. And he is not going to make the same mistake again. He's not going to turn around to the Lord and say, well, yes, I love thee more than these. No, 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 no. He's humble enough. He's humble enough to know how he really stands before the Lord. And again, beloved, follow the example of Peter. Learn from your mistakes. Learn from your mistakes. At times, and we all do this, we can talk about our great love for Christ and we can talk about how much we do for him. And really, if we're pushed, even in times of persecution, well, I'll not do that or I'll not say this. And yet we have found ourselves to be wanting when the Lord has proved us, when the Lord has tested us. And here's Simon, and he learns from his mistake. It was a heartfelt answer as well, an honest and a humble answer, but also a heartfelt one. Look at verse 17. Peter was grieved. He was grieved because he said to him, lovest thou me? First and second time he could deal with it, but the third time, he knows what the Lord's doing here. Three times he has denied the Lord, and three times, this third time, Peter is now grieved. He's grieved. Really, the thought here is that he's hurt. You see, the Master has probed his conscience, he has probed his heart, and Peter knows this. He is now beginning to really realize how little his love was for Jesus Christ. Child of God, when you think of your lack of love for Christ and yet his tremendous love for you, it should not only humble you, but it also, like Peter, it should really hurt. What I mean by that is, it should grieve you. It should grieve you. Like Peter, does it not concern you? Here's Peter, and the third time he realizes here, I don't love the Lord way I should, the way I thought I did, and he's grieved about it. And I wonder, child of God, it's one thing to be honest and to say, Lord, look, you know, I don't love you the way I should. It's another thing then to do something about it. It's another thing then entirely to then come before him with godly sorrow and repentance and say, Lord, give me the grace to love you more. Lord, give me that love that I do not have for you naturally. We love him because why? Because he first loved us. Lord, help me to grow in love then. Give me a holy desire to love this book above all other books, and to love you as my Savior above all other earthly connections, and to just love you. It should strike you in such a way. And I believe this is what the Lord is doing with Peter's heart here. He was grieved. He was grieved. Can you say, like we have just been singing in that third hymn, Lord, it is my chief complaint that my love is very faint. Know a group of teenagers enjoying themselves. And they decided then to go to a certain place afterwards for a good time. In amongst that crowd, there was a young Christian girl, late teens. And she knew that it wouldn't be right for her to go to this place. And she piped up and she said to the rest of her friends, you know, I'd rather you take me home. My parents, especially my father, they don't approve of that place. And one of her friends said sarcastically to her, are you afraid that your father will hurt you? Do you know what she said? She said this. She said, no, I'm afraid I might hurt my father. And here's Peter. And he knows he's hurt his Savior. Peter is grieved. He is grieved that he has hurt his Savior. He has denied the Lord three times. Now he's being probed about it. And now he is grieved. But nonetheless, he does declare his love for the Savior. So I want you to think then lastly, not about the asking and also the answering of this question. Think then about the activity after this question. The activity after this question. Verse 15, the Lord Jesus, at the end of the verse, he said, "Feed my lambs." Here's Peter. He has now publicly professed that he loves the Lord Jesus Christ three times. And each time when Peter declares he loves Jesus Christ, what does Jesus Christ then say to Peter? He tells him, "Feed my lambs." Now, the first time he says, "Feed my lambs," and the second and third time he says, "Feed my sheep." Is he telling Peter to give up the fishing and become a shepherd? No, he's not. What is he doing? He's saying to Peter simply this: love all my people. Feed my lambs. He's speaking there about the younger members of the flock. And as he then refers to the sheep, he's referring then to the older members of the flock. In other words, the people of God in general. And the first and the third time he says feed, it has the idea of just feeding with food. But the second time he says feed my sheep, in verse 16, it's a different word again in the original text. It has the idea of leading, of guiding, of taking care of, like the shepherd would do. You know yourself, the shepherd, he doesn't just feed his sheep. He looks after them. He cares for them. He makes sure that they're safe. He leads them into pastures new. And so Peter, the question, the challenge to Peter then is this: if you truly love me, Peter, the way you say you do, even that friendly love for me, and Peter, show it. Show it. Show you love me by your actions and your attitude to all people, all members of the flock. Now, as he has been, this challenge and this recommission is being put to him, I don't know about you, but I thought, well, Peter, how did you fare? How did you fare when you were told to feed my lambs and feed my sheep? Peter, how did you get on? Did he really love the Lord the way he said he did this time? Or did he make the same mistake as he did the last? Well, as you read through the book of Acts in the New Testament, you will see that Peter lived up to his billing. Acts chapter 2, he exhibited love for Christ by his lips. He preached the gospel to thousands. Then in 1st and 2nd Peter, you read of him showing he loves the Lord through his letters. He wrote these letters to suffering Christians to help them along the way. And then verse 18 here in John 21 speaks of his legacy, speaks of the death that he would die. And that Peter, how did he die? He died by crucifixion, just like his Lord, only he was hanged upside down. So here's the question: do you love me, Simon? Do you love me, Peter? And he says, "Lord, I love you." And the rest of his life, he showed through his preaching ministry, through how he guided the saints, and even in the example of his death. The man who denied the Lord was the man who died just like his Lord by crucifixion. He showed that he loved Christ. He showed that he meant business when he said, "Lord, thou knowest I love thee." You see, we can have action without affection, but we cannot have affection without action. When you have affection, love for Christ, then that will then show itself in various ways. As the Lord challenged you by the word of God today, this morning, and he's asked you the question, "Lovest thou me?" And you have answered within your heart, and you have vowed before the Lord, "Lord, thou knowest I love thee." Lord, it's a love like Simon Peter's. It's not a love like you have for me. But nonetheless, Lord, I love you in some measure. The challenge then is this: it's to show that you're genuine. It is to prove it. Just as Peter, as he got beyond all of his past failures, as the Lord then publicly reinstates him, the challenge to you today is this: it's one thing to come before the Lord and confess sin. It's another thing then to really exhibit that you are genuine and to show how much you love him. During the air raids in London, during the war, there was a short lad and he was emerging from the rubble of a building. As he was emerging from this building, he was carrying a lad twice his size on his shoulder. The policeman, he saw this young lad and he said, "Mate, Leave your friend there. He's far too heavy for you to carry. Just wait, I'll be with you in a minute or two. And the young Cockney lad, he looked up and he said, Mister, he isn't that heavy. And he's my brother. I'm taking him home. And child of God, the question is, do we know anything about this? If we truly love Jesus Christ, do we love then taking the saints, as it were, up on our shoulders? When at times they're amongst the rubble of life and the wreckage and the ruin at times, as it comes in and as it at times comes on upon them, do you know what it is to truly love a saint like that? Like the shepherd, as he lifts up the sheep and brings it back to the fold, to bear them up, to have such a genuine, authentic love for them. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me. May the Lord bless his word to your hearts and lives today.